Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect radio show. Lovely to have you with us today. We'll be here for the next hour or so. We've got a fabulous mix of conversation, very topical, and also some great music chosen by our studio guest today, as always. You can follow us on social media and tweet us on the show at Kent_Biz. And we also have a dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show page as well. So please search for Biz Connect Radio Show and follow us there. And we have a website, kentbizconnect.co.uk, and you can find out more information about today's guest and also listen back to previous shows as well on our website. And this show will also be available from sort of end of play today, tomorrow morning. So, yeah, do keep an eye on that. If you're Ashford-based, as one of our studio guests is today, do please get in touch with us. And we'd love to invite you on the show to talk about everything that you do in the local community. That would be great. Today's show is focused very much around practical advice for individuals and business owners following the spring statement, which we had a couple of weeks ago, which went largely unnoticed, I think it's fair to say, for obvious reasons, but also more importantly, the autumn budget that we had back in November. And of course, we have a new tax year coming up literally just around the corner in a couple of weeks' time. So, we're going to be talking about things that individuals and businesses need to be aware of, and crucially in terms of being proactive when it comes to thinking about all of that. So I think what we ought to do is ask our guests to introduce themselves. So to my right, we have
Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring. I'm a licensed insolvency practitioner. Based up in Maidstone.
Brilliant to have you with us again, AD. And to my left.
And my name is Anthony Atwood. I'm an associate director at Zenodyn in our Ashford office, and we are a leading provider of accountancy services and business advisory across the UK and Ireland.
Brilliant. Great to have you with us as well, Anthony, to dissect everything that's been happening in the world of tax. Do stay with us, everybody. What we're going to do now is we're going to play a little bit of music chosen by Adrian. Adrian, I know this is one of your favourites, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the Biz Connect radio show today. While we were listening to the full length version of New Order's Blue Monday, we had some feedback that Adrian's microphone was a little bit quiet. So, AD, can you just talk into your mic for us again?
Yes, certainly. Adrian Dante, licensed insolvency practitioner and partner at Opus Restructuring, based in Maidstone.
Brilliant. Okay, well, it does look a little bit weird, so we'll keep an eye on that. And our second guest today, just a quick...
Yes, I'm Anthony Atwood. I am an associate director at Zenodyn in our Ashford office.
Brilliant. Great. Lovely to have you both with us today. We're going to be talking about the autumn budget. We're going to be talking about the spring statement. There was a bit of a non-event. And we're also going to be talking about the new tax year that's upcoming. And I think it's fair to say, Anthony, that accountancy today, certainly for small businesses, has become a tax planning exercise in many ways, hasn't it? I mean, it's become so complicated, the tax landscape.
Exactly. And that's the message we try to get across with our clients and potential clients, is that planning ahead is always the way forward now. You've got to be, you can't react to things. You've got to be proactive. And that's the message we're trying to get across.
Okay, so we're gonna pick apart some of the more relevant kind of areas that that businesses and individuals need to be thinking about. But just give us a flavour for who you are at Zenodyn in terms of your firm and where you're based here in Ashford and what you guys actually do.
Okay. Yep. So we're across the entire country in Ireland, and we're a practice that we have offices basically dotted about everywhere. We've got Ashford, Folkestone, Sittingbourne, Rochester and Dartford. That's just in Kent, and we've got loads more around the country. We deal with small businesses right the way through to large businesses and just a bit of everything in between. We look after tax, we look after audits, we look after accounts, but for the purpose of today's show, we're small and medium sized entities is sort of where we're talking about today. And that's what we'd like to try and focus on. And a lot of the stuff I do focuses on that. we're looking at businesses with turnover from, say, 50k right through to maybe 20 million. So that covers a very broad range, and there are very different tax planning exercises for each one.
Okay, brilliant. And whereabouts are you in Ashford?
So we're off North Street, and that's just at the top end of the town centre.
Okay, so really, really central, easy yes. for people to find. Good. Okay. I hope there's some parking around there.
Well, we'll see. Car parks have been closed.
The bane of every town centre. And Adrian, tell us a little bit about what you do, please.
Yeah, so I'm an insolvency practitioner. So I specialise in corporate recovery and businesses that are in financial difficulty. I've been doing this for the best part of 30 years now. Started in London, working on quite big trading and administrations. Moved down to Kent in 2007 and moved a couple of firms, previously back into Hudson, and now Opus for the last 5 years. So I basically work on administrations and liquidations, and in particular on liquidations. We do a lot of solvent winding up, we might come on to that as we come towards the end of the tax year, and businesses that where we try to focus on rescue.
Brilliant. We have definitely got a problem with your microphone. So what I might ask you to do is just shift a little bit closer to Anthony, because I, despite my wiggling...
Nobody here.
It was probably just coming across a little bit quiet. Right. So I think we're going to have to get intimate in the studio today and just kind of share microphones. It is an intermittent problem, so I do apologise for
that. That's fine.
I'll try and get it working during the next kind of music break.
Anthony's going to be doing most of the talking anyway.
So. Brilliant. Okay. So, Anthony, what are the kind of... Tell us about some of the kind of the key things that are coming in or have come in that people need to be kind of thinking about, either as business owners or as individuals?
Certainly. I think one of the biggest things that's coming in is probably one of the biggest shakeups we've seen for a few years now is making tax digital. And this is for individuals who either are self-employed or have rental income and it's above the 50,000 threshold. Then they're going to be looking to do quarterly returns via electronic software, which then has to be reported to HMRC. And we have to be on top of this and plan ahead, again, just to be certain that there are no penalties involved and that clients are effectively doing what's best for them and their business.
So in practice, what does this actually mean for people in terms of, you know, what is the process? What do they need to have? Do they need to have some kind of digital interface, linked to their accounting system? What needs to happen?
So this needs to be via some electronic software. So without actually naming different softwares, but essentially it's online software, which similar to how VAT returns work, you file your accounting records on there and submit them to HMRC quarterly.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking off air. Say you're a limited company owner and you already complete a quarterly VAT return, and you don't necessarily have any other income outside of running your business, is this going to affect you or not?
So this won't affect limited companies. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, it's just those who are self-employed and have rental income.
Okay. And the threshold in terms of qualifying income is?
It's 50,000 at the moment with reductions in the forthcoming years. So eventually it will get down to the 20,000 mark and that'll be based on your income from those sources.
Okay. So for the vast majority of people that haven't been doing this up until now, does this mean that they're going to need to engage with an accountant? They might have been filing their own self-assessment quite happily, for example. Will that still be possible or?
That is possible that they can file it themselves, mm-hmm. although it might be a case that they might need to meet with an accountant to discuss what needs to be done. And For some clients, it might just be easier for them in terms of the administration to go with an accountant. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we're there to provide business advice and to navigate them through this change into the digital world.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adrian, I'm going to bring you in here because I know one of the key things that that means you need to get involved with businesses is their lack of kind of attention to detail when it comes to filing things like tax returns.
Absolutely. I mean, every referral we get, there's always tax outstanding. Mm. I don't know if this is a a habit, a historical habit where tax gets sort of like forgotten about, and especially, you know, I think especially VAT, because on VAT, for example, you know, businesses have had the money but not paid it over, and the HMRC take a very, very strong line on that. They effectively complain that, you know, they're being used as a bank or a lender, if you like. So, and I always say, to always advise businesses, is that, I mean, a lot of businesses at the moment are on still on time to pay, so they ring fence the current debt, the current tax debt, and they allow them to trade on. But that's fine if you can absorb that in your cash flow. But the key is to be able to keep paying taxes as and when it falls due, and can the business, you know, stand on its own two feet going forward? If it can't pay, you know, time to pay is great and it gives you breathing space, but that shouldn't be that shouldn't be the end of it. You know, it should be should be replanning, hoping that you don't plan not to get into that position again.
So, Anthony, will self-employed people, for example, that meet the criteria, will they be required to actually pay a quarterly tax bill now, or will it still be kind of reconciled at the end of the year? We don't know about that, I guess.
Well, that's if you've got listeners who are keen to actually come and speak to us, then that would be great. If they could fix up a meeting, we can have a chat to them about this whole process.
That'd be fantastic. So it's a little bit unknown at the moment, a little bit kind of up in the air. That's fair enough. Okay. So what else do we know is coming down the pipe in terms of taxation, for example, and changes to taxation?
Certainly one of the bigger ones that we're encountering with a lot of clients at the moment is those who are looking to exit their business, sell their business. The rates of business asset disposal relief, formerly entrepreneurs relief, have now increased over the last few years. So we're looking at now 18% for business asset disposal relief, where it used to be 10%. So it's costing more in tax to exit your business now for when you decide to sell up.
Okay. So you need to plan ahead for that, presumably.
Absolutely. Planning ahead is key for everything. Again, it's about being it's about not being reactive to things. It's about being on the ball and thinking, when do you want to exit your business? What plans do you have for your retirement? Almost have that date in your mind set in stone. That's your goal. And then we work together to get you to that point where you can actually achieve your goal and be as tax efficient as possible.
So have that sort of date in mind, you know, for the future, and kind of plan towards that. That makes perfect sense. And I mean, you know, historically, company directors in limited companies have paid themselves through dividends, for example. And I think, you know, gradually over the past few years, the kind of the benefit of doing that has been kind of whittled away. But there's been some more changes, haven't there, in terms of, you know, dividend tax as well.
Sadly so. For those who are taking dividends through their limited companies, it's a case of the dividend tax rate from the 6th of April this year. So that's little under a month away even, that you're going to experience a 2% increase in the rate of tax you pay on your dividends. So it's no longer going to be 8.75% at the lower rate and 32.75% on the higher rate. It's going to be 2% higher on those. So you're going to be experiencing 2% extra tax on your dividends and also on your savings income as well.
Okay, so going to get clobbered there. We know that's coming up. And going back to kind of HMRC, I think there's been an increase in kind of penalties for late returns as well, Adrian.
Absolutely,
hasn't
I think they were increasing. Is it 200 to late final to £200?
Yeah, 100 to 200. Yeah. I think.
I just want to touch on very what we were talking about, those tax rates increasing. Because we do a lot of solvent wind-ups as well.
Right,
so that's where business come to the end of the natural life. They've got cash, or shareholders want to go their separate ways. And we do see a spike at this time of year. But businesses that are thinking about it do need to get their skates on, because the Business Asset Disposal Relief, BADR, that is that's at the moment it's 10%, but that increases from 14% to 18% from the 6th of April. So there is still time, and we are getting quite a spike of referrals. But if they want to take advantage of that rate before it goes up, then they need to get in touch with their local accountant.
Yeah, Go on, Anthony. Yeah.
Just to reiterate on the point we touched on about the MTD returns and the payment of tax. Sorry, the pressure of live radio got the better of me there. you continue to pay your tax in January and July as you always have done with right. your personal tax.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. So there isn't any additional kind of burden in between that. Fine. No. Okay. All right. That's good to know. So Adrian, just explain to us that last point, how that actually works in practice, that kind of business asset disposal tax, you know, and the rate going up there that you spoke about.
Well, I mean, the 10% rate applies to qualifying gains up to £1 million. I mean, as I say, from April, that rate then increases from 14% to 18%. So we do that through a process called a members voluntary winding up. Mm-hmm. But also should mention what we said about corporation tax. Anti-avoidance, the targeted anti-avoidance rule may apply if you start to, if you restart a similar business within the 2 years, potentially making the distribution taxable as income.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to be aware of that going forward.
And you really, I mean, you were saying you see a spike.
Yes, there's a rush.
And people wanting to dispose of their business.
Yes.
They literally leave it to the last minute.
They do everything.
Before the end of the tax year.
It's like doing the annual tax returns. They come in for a bag of receipts or something like that, don't they? Okay.
So I've got £1 million turnover business, but you know what? I need to get rid of it in the next month. It's literally like that.
Well, I'm getting inquiries now for next year. They're absorbing the increase, which is good, actually. A few accountants have been in touch and saying we want to talk about exiting in the next financial year.
Yes, okay, that makes much more sense.
Yeah. Well, it makes our life easier.
Yeah. And in an ideal world, Anthony, you'd be advocating that people are sort of planning 3 to 5 years ahead, presumably, rather than, you know, quite as short term as that.
Sometimes even further afield than 3 to 5 years. Yeah. It really depends on what your own personal goals are.
Yeah.
And part of the work we do is we sit down with our clients, we find out what their aim is, whether it's to exit the business, whether it's to buy properties, or whether it's to expand the business or go overseas. We discuss with the clients, find out what those goals of theirs are, and actually then help them achieve those goals.
Yeah, cool.
So it's not just simply a case of just reacting to one thing and just working out the tax.
So what else kind of noteworthy do we need to be kind of aware of on the back of the autumn budget back in November and the new tax year? What haven't we kind of covered?
I think there are a few smaller things to look at. I mean, there are changes to rates on inheritance tax, the top end rates, of course, employment costs, which we've been living with for about the last year now. Mm. Employers' national insurance is 15%, and the rate it kicks in is a lot earlier.
Mm.
So the cost of actually putting bums on seats, so to speak, is actually a lot more for businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I guess, you know, something else that got mentioned that we should probably touch on briefly is this kind of allowance with regard to pension contributions. And that's obviously changing as well. So if people have got a kind of a slightly longer term view on their pension, they might be able to maximise those kind of tax-free contributions in the next couple of tax years.
Exactly that. The changes to the regulations are set for a few years from now. But so ideally, make use of it now while you can, because then once it kicks in, then beyond the initial £2,000 allowance you get, which is tax and national insurance free, there's national insurance implications beyond that £2,000 for salary sacrifice pensions.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, look, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little bit more music.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Biz Connect radio show today. We've been having a discussion with Adrian Dante from Opus Restructuring and Insolvency and Anthony Atwood, accountant at Zenedine Accountants, based locally here in Ashford, all around the tax landscape, what's kind of coming in on the back of the autumn budget last November, and what businesses and individuals need to be aware of. But Adrian, what I'd like to do now is just kind of spend a little bit of time thinking about, you know, the positive side to restructuring in terms of the work that you do specifically with businesses that, you know, might have got into trouble with creditors, for example. We spoke briefly about, you know, winding up businesses and the fact that you see a spike in that before the end of the tax year.
Yeah.
But how do you get involved in terms of helping businesses that are actually viable going concerns but need a little bit of help?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got, you'll probably find, I think we've covered this before, we've got various bits and pieces on the on LinkedIn, you know, to do it, you can do a stress test on your business. You know, there's bullet points on there about knowing when to stop trading, early warning signs. So once we've covered all that, so when businesses talk to us, you know, we obviously we look at the cash flow position, we look at obviously who are the creditors, namely banks, you know, the lenders, the charge holders, and the landlord these days as well, which we need to deal with. But if we get a feel for it and we can see that there's a viable business going here forward, we can either try and continue to trade the business and sell it as a going concern, or we can look at another alternative rescue procedure, which is a company voluntary arrangement, which, from the latest statistics I've seen, they're on the increase. And I think the reason for that is that directors want to stay in control, which is understandable. So in that scenario, CVA, all the debt gets ring-fenced, and the directors stay in control, and they continue the business with the supervisor, i.e. me, in the background to make sure they adhere to the terms of that proposal. And one in particular that I just want to highlight is a business that provided safe, comfortable, a supported accommodation for teenagers in the care of the local authority, and they were preparing them for adulthood, which hopefully where they will move into a family home, a family style environment. But they got into difficulty with HMRC. So with the accountant, we revamped the cash flow going forward.
So they were what, late paying?
Yeah, we're late paying. They're on time to pay as well, mainly PAYE. Mm. And we thought, well, this would be an absolute travesty if this, because all these young people, they'll all be thrown out of these homes that they were living in. Mm. So obviously, you know, it would have had an impact. So what we did, and thankfully they were able to get some increased funding from the local authority. Mm-hmm. So once we had all that, we then approached HMRC. We said, this is, and HMRC are more confident when they got a professional advisor in the background. So we put the proposal to them, and we made sure everything stacked up in all the cash, the viability. And thankfully, HMRC came back and approved it. Mm-hmm. And that was about a year ago. It's a five-year arrangement, and they're moving along very well, and they're really pleased, and they're glad, because they were literally going to throw the towel in.
Okay. So how does a business get into that point in the first place? Where,
well,
I mean, do they think they can just sort of put that under the carpet and wait for HMRC to come knocking for their money? Or
they try and trade out. They pile more money in as well of their own accord, which is never, you know, advisable to do that, and just paying off historical debt. Mm-hmm. Is that because then you're back to square one again? Mm-hmm. So if you are going to introduce new capital, then we'll have to do in a sensible way, whereby everybody benefits from it. But at the end of the day, the business has to be viable.
Yeah.
That's the most important. Is there a good order book? Yeah. You know, at the moment we're probably seeing that construction is probably one of the highest hits at the moment. But
Okay. So the advice there is then to address the problem early, and
as soon as possible.
I guess you'd kind of support that as well, in terms of, you know, where there is I guess it's slightly different for you, depending on the size of business that you're working with. But if you're producing quarterly or monthly management accounts, for example, you're going to have early sort of oversight of potential cash flow issues and ability to kind of meet, you know, creditor kind of payments and things like that, aren't you? But for everybody else, it's just about being, you know, just being proactive, I guess.
Absolutely. And historically with accountants, what's always happened is clients give you information and you're dealing with the retrospect. Mm. So what we're trying to do is encourage them as business advisors, as tax planners. Mm. We have we're a national practice, and we have all the expertise that come with that. We have specialists in VAT, in tax planning, and in corporate finance. We have all those specialists that we can utilize, but at the same time, we're local. So we provide that comfort for clients, and therefore we can actually help them with planning ahead and moving forward. with the confidence in knowing that we've got a specialist who's a national specialist, mm-hmm. not just somebody who's...
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. So, Adrian, in that particular example, did this organisation not have a firm of accountants to advise them?
They did, but unfortunately, we do see a lot of in these situations where maybe businesses don't probably spend enough time with their accountants,
you know,
to work through the numbers through the year. Mm. I think they see it as a cost, whereas I advise to say, look, that you should see it as a necessary cost and more of an investment of time, their time. Mm-hmm. But it's going to cost more money, but to keep you on the straight and narrow rather than leave it to the end of the year and then do your accounts, so actually you're not in a particularly good position here.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. And it's easily done, isn't it? Because, you know, as you say, you don't have to file a set of accounts until 9 months after the end of a financial year. And actually, if there's going to be a tax liability due, you need to...
exactly. And I think for me, that falls into the category of bad management.
Yeah.
And that's probably, in my view, it's probably one of the biggest reasons why we see so many referrals.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Anthony, you'd kind of back that up, presumably.
Absolutely, we do. We encourage our clients as soon as their year end is hit. We're asking them for their records. We're working closely with our clients throughout the year anyway. Mm. We have regular meetings with our clients to see how things are going, what's forthcoming. We have people who are looking to exit business. We're looking at people who are looking to try and save tax. We have people looking to grow, people to establish into markets elsewhere in the world. So there's all sorts of things going on, and we've got our finger on the pulse with all of those, and being able to simply just advise them in a scenario whereby it's unique to them and specific to their circumstances. And it is all about planning ahead, ahead, and don't leave it till the last minute, basically.
So we're not waiting for the end of the 11th hour to file a tax return. We're doing it as soon as we can.
Exactly that. And you said 9 months to file your company accounts after the year end. The corporation tax is due a day later. Yeah, so suddenly you've got to find however much money to pay the tax bill off in a day.
Yeah. So your client, AD, was quite lucky that that you came along when you did.
Fortunate, actually, yeah.
How did the introduction come?
Well, it actually came through the accountant, and he said to me, "Look, this is a situation that could be it has an impact. This is worse than financial.
Yeah.
You know, it's a practical fallout," and he explained, you know, what was at stake here. So we knew. But I did know, when I looked at it, I thought, well, this could be a viable business, but we need to, you're going to have to work with us to work with HMRC.
Yes, absolutely.
And thankfully, it all turned out well far.
Yeah. So really, really positive kind of outcome there.
Yeah, absolutely.
All around. Okay. So, Anthony, what else is, what's kind of top of mind within Zenidin at the moment in terms of tax planning and advice to clients? What are the kind of the key things that you're advising clients to think about?
Okay, so one of the main things is with the changes, as we discussed earlier, on the changes to dividend rates and the rising costs of employment, that is one of the hot topics at the moment for us, and it's client asking us questions about how can they afford to employ these people, what type of staff do they attract, what and we try to determine what the budget is, what they need that employee for, and assist them with how they're going to navigate that, because times are uncertain at the moment, and small businesses need that certainty, and that's what we provide them, and we want to provide them with that confidence to know that they can hire that employee because it's going to have a positive impact on their revenues, or it's going to increase profits, or it's going to achieve their goals in the long run.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So, of course, it impacts that crucial human resource planning area, doesn't it? In terms of, budgeting for an extra body in the business. How do you do that? You know, how do you calculate whether or not you can actually afford to employ somebody?
Exactly, and that's the thing we need to sit down and work with our clients. And it's in this case of, again, the owners of the business as well, whether it's salary, whether it's bonus, whether it's dividends, whether you look at P11D type items, whether you get electric cars for your staff and your directors,
all of that.
It's all relevant. Yeah, the benefits package, indeed. Yeah, that's never become more relevant than it is these days.
And in fact, we had a couple of employment lawyers on the show a couple of weeks ago from Whitehead, Monckton and Eclipse HR talking about the new Employment Rights Act. And, you know, obviously things like, you know, legislation around that has a direct impact on, you know, the financial viability ultimately of employing new staff. So a lot to think about, a lot to kind of plan for there, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, yeah, and it's just extra costs for business, yeah, in total. And therefore it's affecting that bottom line for businesses. So again, that's the whole purpose of planning ahead, because one, if you know what you're going to expect, then should something happen that you're not expecting, you're prepared for it and you can deal with it in plenty of time because you've planned that far ahead. And I cannot emphasize that enough, is just plan ahead.
And also wrapped up within all of that, I guess, is, you know, remuneration more broadly in terms of, you know, how you perhaps pay yourself, you know, as a director of the company, and, you know, all of that links into that.
That is exactly the case. And and for your directors of the company, most of the time it's salary dividends combination, but that's not necessarily the most tax efficient way anymore. So again, if anybody's out there and has any doubts about if they're doing the most tax efficient thing, then by all means set up a meeting, get in touch.
Absolutely, okay, good. Well, I think what we're going to do now is we've got another one of your tracks, Anthony. We've got Depeche Mode, Enjoying the Silence. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show just with some kind of closing thoughts from both of you in terms of best practice advice out there for individuals and businesses. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with the Biz Connect radio show today. We're coming to the end of the show, and I wanted to ask our studio guests really for their kind of closing thoughts. We've covered a huge amount of ground today. It's impossible to do it justice in an hour in terms of everything that's happening in the tax landscape. But Anthony, in terms of sort of closing thoughts and best practice advice for kind of individuals and businesses out there at the moment.
Yeah, for small businesses at the moment, it's a very uncertain time, and they want that stability. And right now, the best thing we can do is to provide some structured financial planning, not based on speculation. It's key to really just get the planning done in advance. And that I cannot emphasize that enough today, is just plan in advance. Know what you expect, what your outcome is, when you want it. Yeah. And then we work towards that goal, because essentially that's your goal, and you've got to work towards it. Otherwise, it's like turning up for a race on a Saturday morning. If you don't know if you're running 100 meters or a marathon, what's the point turning up Saturday morning? And that's kind of the
If you don't know where you want to get to, how on earth are you going to get there?
Exactly. And that's the tax is always a secondary thought, really, because you've got to plan what you want to achieve and then think about the tax afterwards. And a lot of the time, tax is a driver. So it's about that business advisory. It's about that tax planning. It goes hand in hand. And plan in advance.
And not being reactive at the end of, literally, the day before your tax return and company accounts are kind of due, sitting down with your accountant because it's too late.
Definitely. If you've got a limited company, for example, try and book in with your accountant straight after the year end. And if you can't do that, come see me.
Absolutely.
Shameless plug, sorry.
Okay, well, actually, on that note, you haven't even mentioned your website yet, so please do give us a shout out for that.
Yeah, that's zenadin.com, and we have got some great resources on there, so you can click on the resources, and we've got some really good resources to different businesses, different sectors, so it might not all apply to you, but there might be something really great on there. And if you like what you see, again, and you're looking for that advice, that curated advice that's just for you, then book an appointment. We have national experts who can help you.
Brilliant. And that's all the W's, xeinadin.com. And your contact details are on there as well, presumably. Somewhere.
Not necessarily, but I'm sure we can put them on the replay of the show page on the website.
Well, it's Anthony, Anthony Atwood, Atwood@zenadin.com. Brilliant. Good.
Perfect. Thank you.
Adrian, you gave us a really interesting case study in terms of how you were able to help a business that actually was very much a viable concern, but perhaps had, you know, left their meeting with their accountant a little bit late.
Correct.
Hadn't planned for a tax liability.
Correct.
And therefore was wondering what on earth they were going to do.
Absolutely
about
right.
It.
Yeah, and that was and that's. That's where we came into it. So, you know, early intervention is absolutely key. But I think we touched on in the break that I've seen businesses in the past where I've been interested and I've not made a case for insolvency. I said, this is an underperforming business.
Yeah.
You know, maybe got to like look at their sales and et cetera, et cetera. And we can then look at like maybe a turnaround advice and restructuring.
Yes.
And at Opus, we can provide that. So it's not just the core insolvency services that we provide. It's restructuring and turnaround outside of a formal process.
In fact, let's turn that on its head. Don't think insolvency. Think
exactly right. It's not all doom and gloom. No. Yes, and it's tough out there.
Yeah.
But with professional advice, you know, going to their accountants and other professional advisors, and early intervention, but staying on top of the numbers is key as well.
Again, I think that's the sort of common theme from today, isn't it? You know your numbers, and if you're not comfortable or familiar with numbers,
absolutely right.
Surround yourself with people who are.
There is advice out there. There's people there to help.
Let them do the heavy lifting for you. Absolutely. So, you know, early forward planning, I think, is definitely a common theme today. Adi, give us a shout out for your contact details at Opus, if you can.
Okay, yes, Adrian Dante. So my email is adrian.dante, D-A-N-T-E, at Opus, O-P-U-S-L-L-P.com, and our website, www.opusllp.com. Similar to Anthony's website, lots of interesting articles are on there in terms of what we do, all the positives and we give a lot of commentary on the current economic situation. Mm-hmm. And I think we've just posted something just quite about the growing. I think it was something to. The growing problems in it geographically at the moment, and how is that impacting on the our economy?
Okay, and like Anthony, you're very open to having a conversation with business owners, and I think you do something you call a sort of a business stress test, don't you? That you can talk a business owner
that's on
through.
Our, absolutely
if
right.
They, if they think actually, you know. I am looking at an insolvency situation. Yeah. You can actually go through a much more
really
structured discussion.
Easy to read, easy to
say,
understand.
Well, actually, no, you're not. You've
exactly.
just got a temporary cash flow. Blip,
absolutely. Absolutely
for
right.
Example.
That's all on our website. And I think also on my LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, so happy to have a chat with
brilliant.
With people on that basis.
Thank you.
Great. Well, we have come to the end of the show, so thank you so much for joining us, both of you today. Apologies again about the microphone at the beginning of the show, if you couldn't hear Adrian.
Nobody wants to hear what I have to say anyway.
So, Anthony, it's always an absolute pleasure to have a local firm on the show as well. So thank you for popping across the street, and you haven't got far to go. So thank you again. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. We've got two super guests joining us for the run-up to Easter, actually, because it's literally at the very end of the month. But until then, it's goodbye from us, and we're actually going to play you out with a very fitting song by the Beatles, which I think Anthony was one of your picks as well, so I won't spoil it for you, but we'll be back with you on the airwaves in a couple of weeks' time, so bye for now.